Good morning, everybody. A few years ago, there in Southern California, where I'm from, greetings from the left coast, I mean the west coast, we have a local newspaper, and on a Saturday edition, in the very back, it's got a section called From the Pulpit, and it allows those that are leaders in various faiths in the area to contribute articles to this, and so I took advantage of it, being one of the elders at our assembly in Claremont, and I'd like to share some of the thoughts from that article this morning. The article that I wrote was entitled Reasons Why I'm Not a Christian. So I want to share that with you this morning. I've got five reasons why I'm not a Christian. Now, before you start throwing your hymn books at me, listen and you'll understand what it's all about. Reason number one, I'm not a Christian because my parents are Christians. You know, Doug and I and our sister Carol, we thank the Lord for our godly parents, my mom and dad. But as the evangelist Billy Sunday said, just because you're born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in a garage would make you a car. And just to kind of let you in a little bit more on our family, I don't know if Doug ever shared this with you, but the Dixon family had a drug problem when we were growing up. And, it was because every Sunday, my mom and dad drug us to the chapel. Morning and evening, if there was a meeting, we were drugged there. So we had this drug problem, but it was a good drug problem. And, you know, you don't hear about that. But, you know, if we could turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3, a very familiar portion. John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus was a very highly respected person in the community. In fact, if he's walking down the street, mothers would pull their little ones to themselves and say, you see that man over there, Nicodemus? I'm hoping one day you'll be just like him. So he had that status and that recognition, but he knew something was missing. There was something inside and he knew it was missing. And so he came to the right person. He came to the Lord Jesus. You know, again, I'm not a Christian because my parents are Christians. Second of all, I'm not a Christian because I claim to be a Christian. We all know people that claim to be Christians, but that doesn't make you a Christian. In Central California, there's a small town called Atascadero. It has a prison there for the criminally insane. And one of the doctors, this happened many, many years ago, goes to the assembly that was in Atascadero, and he related this to a friend of mine who's now with the Lord, but he shared this story with me, and this doctor was walking through the long corridor in this prison for the criminally insane, and there was a man standing there in his pajamas, and he had his hand in his shirt like this, just standing at attention. And so the doctor said, and who are you? And he says, I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. And so the doctor didn't even phase. He says, well, who told you you were Napoleon Bonaparte? And the man said, God told me I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. And then they heard a voice way down the corridor saying, I did not. So just claiming to be a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. You know, I can have a jar in my garage, and on that outside has the label that it's a pickle. But inside that jar, it could be lacquer thinner. I use a lot of lacquer thinner in my cabinet business. So the label on the outside doesn't make what's inside the jar what it is. And that's how it is with a lot of people. They claim to be a Christian on the outside, but they're missing what's inside. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. And when I'm talking with the young people, I have to admit that this is probably, for me, one of the scariest verses or portions in God's Word. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Think about that. A God that knows everything will say to that person, I never knew you. And you say, well, how can that be? If God knows everything, he knows that person. Well, that person tried to come to God with an alias. In other words, they came to God saying, well, I'm a really good person. And God says, I'm sorry, I don't recognize that. I don't know that. And so not everybody that says, I'm a Christian, is one. So, number one, I'm not a Christian because my parents are Christians. I'm not a Christian because I claim to be a Christian. And number three, I'm not a Christian because I've done a certain amount of good works, or even a certain kind of good works. The question is, oh, thank you. Great for a dry preacher. The question is, we might ask ourselves is, do good works and bad works, do they weigh the same? So many people have this notion that God has this big balancing scale up in heaven, and he puts your good works on one side and your bad works on the other side, and if the good works outweigh the bad works, then you're in heaven. That's totally false. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. You know, if I go to Home Depot and I got a 5 gallon bucket here and a 5 gallon bucket here, okay? And one is full to the top with goose feathers, and the other one's full to the top with sand. They both fill up the 5 gallon bucket, but we know that there's not the same weight. You know, that idea that my good works will cancel out my bad works, that doesn't even take place in our society. give you an example. My oldest son is a police officer with the LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department. And years ago, when he was in a ground unit, he's now flying helicopters, chasing bad people. But when he was in a ground unit and he'd be at an intersection and someone would just fly by exceeding the speed limit, and he'd light him up and pull him over. And supposing you were that person, and you were to say, officer, I shouldn't be getting this ticket. And he says, why not? Well, I cut my neighbor's grass this morning. Now, what would the response of my son be? I mean, after he stops laughing, he would say, you broke the law. Give me your license and registration and insurance. Because doing a good work doesn't balance out a bad work. Now, don't get me wrong. God is not against doing good works. We should all be doing good works. We need more people doing good works. Take a look at Ephesians. We know this one probably by heart. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we usually stop right there. But notice what it says in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. Good works should characterize a person who's truly been born again. Titus 3:5 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the reason why good works can't balance out bad works is because it only took one bad work, one sin, to completely ruin all of God's creation. Everything. One sin. So how many good deeds do you think it would take to balance out one bad deed? It doesn't work that way. You know, I'm dating myself now. Back in 1975, I was training. This is before I got into teaching. I taught for 35 years. But before that, I trained as a bus driver for the LA City Metro system. And there's probably 30 guys in the group that I was training, was being trained in. And they'd all put us on a bus, and then we'd all take turns driving all the way through the streets of LA. And so when it was your turn, I mean, it could be a long time before your turn came up. So I was sitting next to this one guy, and we got talking, and we got to the point of, how would you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And he said, well, you have to follow the law. I said, really? All 613 of them? Well, he says, well, I don't know how many, but you got to follow the law. I said, oh. And I just happened that morning to be reading in Numbers chapter 11, verse 13, that said that you're not to eat an ossifrage or an osprey. That was part of the law. So I asked this young guy next to me. I was young too. I said, have you ever eaten an ossifrage or an osprey? He says, what in the world are those things? I said, well, that's part of the law. I said, don't you understand that that's not why the law was given? It wasn't given so that we could earn our appreciation or our approval to God. And so it's not by doing works of righteousness that we have done. Okay, so I'm not a Christian because my parents are Christians. I'm not a Christian because I claim to be a Christian, and I'm not a Christian because I've done amount of good works or a certain kind of good works. Number four, I'm not a Christian because I'm better than some people. Now, we could look around and we know some people think, well, I'm a lot better than that person. And you might be right. But the point is, God doesn't compare you with other people in order to let you into heaven. He compares you with himself. And he is perfectly holy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. In Ecclesiastes 3:15, it says that God requires an account for what is past. That's a lot. And so the fact of the matter is that all of us have fallen short of God's perfect standard. Romans, most of us would probably know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of God's perfect standard. Now, about 40 miles from my house, see, yesterday Doug and I went on a big body of water out here, Lake Michigan, and it was not a good experience. We got in a boat that a friend of his owned, and it was pretty dicey. We went out there, and you know, he said, "Oh, there's just 1 or 2 foot waves." Okay, so we go out there, and we're bouncing around, you know, quite a bit, and then so we're out about 2 miles, and all of a sudden the motor quits, and I'm thinking, that's a long way to shore. And I got to speak at Northwest tomorrow. How am I going to swim? How's this going to work out? Well, he lifted up the cowling of the inboard, and what I saw didn't help the situation. Under the engine was a whole bunch of water, and thankfully, after I'm sure Doug was praying too. He was able to get it started, and we cut out our fishing expedition because a storm was coming in, and so we got back, and one of the guys that was driving the boat, his name's Kenny, and I had an opportunity to share the gospel with Kenny. And he says, "Oh, I don't go to church." He says, "This is my church." And he kind of looked around all these trees. He says, "This is my church." I said, "Well, Kenny," because he'd been diagnosed with cancer. I said, and I gave him a gospel tract, the one that says Hope by Jabe Nicholson. And I said, "This will give you hope. Listen to it." But, you know, we went out there, and of course, about 40 miles from my house in Southern California, we've got a body of water, a little bit bigger. It's called the Pacific Ocean. And if we're all standing on the beach at Huntington Beach, one of my favorite beaches, and we all decide, I got an idea, let's all swim to Hawaii. Now, I mean, it's only 2,491.22 miles. I Googled it. Some of us would get further than others. Some of you young people would get out there quite a bit. But guys like me, it's over. So some people would get further, but no one would swim all the way to Hawaii. You know how far away heaven is? I mean, they've found stars out there that are 700 million light years away. Some stars that are 700 million light years away. And heaven is beyond that. So it's quite obvious, if we're going to get to heaven, someone's going to have to take us there. We can't get there in our own efforts. Well, I'm not a Christian because my parents are Christian. I'm not a Christian because I claim to be a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I've done a certain amount of good works. I'm not a Christian because I'm better than some people. Finally, I'm not a Christian because I've been baptized. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23, verse 42. Luke 23 and 42. Again, a familiar passage, I'm sure, to a lot of us. Luke 23:42 says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me." This is one of the thieves on the cross next to the Lord. "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, that man, that thief that was hanging on the cross next to the Lord Jesus, had no opportunity to come down from the cross, get baptized, go to church, take communion, any of that. He didn't even have an opportunity to prove that what he had said, that he was sincere. But yet the Lord said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." You know, there's going to be a lot of people. There might even be someone in this room or within the hearing here that they've taken all the religious classes, you know, confirmation, whatever it might be, communion, and they've been baptized, but none of those things will make us right with God. You must admit that you're a sinner. That's called repentance. You must admit that and realize that when Christ died on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago, when he shed his blood, it's that shed blood that paid the penalty that you and I deserve to pay. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, just 1 John, but it's not just knowing the facts. This is one of the things that we were talking to the young people this last week in Vacation Bible School. It's not just a matter of knowing all the facts of the gospel. You could know that you're a sinner. You could know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You could know that he was buried and 3 days later rose again. You could know all those things and still end up in hell. It's not knowing it. John 1:12, "But as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name." And if there's anyone here this morning, excuse me, that knows all the facts, but yet there was never a time in their life when they made that decision. My parents, I'm not a Christian because my parents are Christians. I'm not a Christian because I claim to be a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I've done a certain amount of good works. And I'm not a Christian because I've been baptized. But when I was 7 years old, I can remember coming home from a Friday night children's meeting, and I don't know who spoke. I don't even remember what he said, but I do know one thing. I knew that I was not saved, and I knew my mom and dad were. And I was sitting in my bedroom. I called my mom in. I said, "Mom, I want Jesus. I want Jesus as my Savior." And she sat down. That familiar verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And as a little 7-year-old, the best I knew how, I said, "Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior." And he saved me. You know, where does it go from there? We need to spread the good news. You know, I taught high school woodshop for 35 years, and the Lord gave me so many opportunities to share the gospel. I just get a rough estimate. I've been able to witness to over 10,000 high school age students. And some say, well, public schools, you're not allowed to share the gospel. Don't believe that for a second. I had so many opportunities. And back in 2008, the Good News on the Move team, Jabe Nicholson, came to our area, Claremont, and I asked Jabe if he would and the team would go come down and share the gospel at Norco High, where I taught. And I also was a supervisor for the Christian club on campus, the Alpha and Omega Club. And he said he would. Now, because we're a recognized club by the school district, we were allowed to promote it on the marquee outside the front of the school. And so I asked Jabe, I said, Jabe, what title are you going to give for your message? You only have 25 minutes because it's at lunchtime. And you, of course, we know Jabe, he's always right on time, right? He never goes over. And so, he said, the title of my message will be, Does God Believe in Atheists? I thought, that's a good title. Does God believe in atheists? Not, does atheists believe in God? So we did that. We had in this one little classroom, all the desks were filled. Kids were standing around. There was, I mean, I lost count over 80 in this room. Of course, it also helped that we offered free pizza. It was packed. And you thought, how in the world was Jabe going to be able to stop right on time? Well, there was a young man that I called Eric Smith. And Eric sat in the front desk, and he had a bunch of cards like this. And so Jabe was right in front of him, you know. And so only Jabe could see the cards, and he had lifted up, and the card said, 10 minutes left, and then 5 minutes left, and then 2 minutes left. And it was an absolutely great opportunity, and there was so much interaction. There was questions going like crazy. And that's how it works. You know, and another opportunity that I have people, and maybe, I don't know the area around here, but we have people coming to our door at home, usually a Saturday morning, and they're trying to sell me a magazine called Awake, which puts you to sleep permanently. And so they're giving me their spiel on how, their particular religion or faith is the right one. And so I always ask them, I said, let me ask you something. Is your faith good for everybody in every situation? Oh yeah, it is. Really? So your faith is good for everybody in every situation? Yes, yes, yes. I said, okay, I'll give you a situation. I'm the most evil person on the face of this earth. I have totally done the worst things that anybody could possibly think. And someone came up and stabbed me in the back with a 10-inch knife, and I've only got 2 minutes to live. Tell me, from your faith, how I can know that I'll be with God in 2 minutes. And I always look at my watch. Go. And they just are rumbling around and usually I stop them at the 1 minute mark. And I said, you haven't told me anything yet. And I'm only got 1 minute to live. You haven't told me how I can know that I'll be with God. Well, they get so frustrated. They said, well, it can't be done. I said, yes, it can. And so I give them the Romans road. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I said, that's it. John 1:12, But as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so in closing, if there's anybody here that doesn't know that for sure that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I'm not a Christian because my parents are Christian. I'm not a Christian because I claim to be a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I've done a certain amount of good works. And I'm not a Christian because I've been baptized. I'm a Christian because I've accepted Christ as my only hope of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here that doesn't know for sure that they have Christ as their Savior, that they will repent of their sin, admit to you that they are a sinner, that they need to have their sins forgiven, and that it is the blood, Heavenly Father, of your dear Son, shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago, that paid the awful price for each and every one of their sins. And that 3 days later, he rose from the dead to prove that he can and does forgive sin. So, Father, I ask that you would guide us now and bless us as we further look into your word. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.